Today on Real Radio.
The gospel originates with God. It is God who said that he'll give us the Savior. Why? Because man is a rebel against God. We run against him. We run away from him. And yet God still sends the gospel to us. Man runs. And as it were, God runs after him with the word.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know. It's a series of lessons on what we often call the essentials of the faith. Last week, we began a series within a series called You Need to Know, all about the gospel truth. Of course, the words gospel truth is a common phrase that a lot of folks use, but we're talking about the real gospel truth as found in the pages of God's written word, the Bible. Here's pastor and Bible teacher now, Jack Hibbs, with more in his mini-series called You Need to Know, all about the gospel truth.
Isn't that a great line? Whoever would believe. The gospel is so important that it says, whoever will believe. Are you a Muslim? Are you a religious person? Are you a Hindu? Are you a Christian? Christian by title. You were born into a Christian house and you carry a card of some Baptist organization. But are you saved? Are you trusting in some sort of human effort to get you into heaven? Some sort of association with anything else other than the blood of Christ. You need Jesus this morning. Whoever. Whoever what? The Bible says whoever believes, puts their trust in him, relies upon him, brings all of their sin, hope, hurt, joy, existence, and lays it upon him and says, Lord, here I am. I come to you. In this moment of coming to you, Jesus, as a whoever, I lay my life down before you, and I die right here, right now. I don't live for me, I live for you from this moment on. You and you alone are worthy to be the one whom I praise. It says there in John 3:16, that believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The word perish here is referring to eternal damnation. You will not experience damnation. You will not experience the grave. You will not experience separation from God. Last night I was watching, I wasn't even watching it. I came home, it was on TV. It was about a man in, I think it was Virginia. He was operating a bulldozer at a coal mining plant. And a sinkhole opened up and swallowed the bulldozer. And the man was radioing to his guys outside, out there on other bulldozers. And all he could see was through a little hole in the window of the bulldozer. And the hole was swallowing it up. Out of nowhere, a hole opened up and swallowed him up. And in that moment, he began to express that he didn't believe he was going to live. He was going to die. And as they tried to help him, that little hole that he could see through was covered up by a further landslide of coal that sunk in upon that. And he began to lose air. And they got him out. But can you imagine being buried alive? Think of it for a moment, being put in a box and put underground alive. We don't think about that stuff enough, and I understand that. It could cause great trauma in our soul. But for those of you who are Christians this morning, you will never see the grave. The Bible says to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord Jesus Christ in an instant of time. Remember, I said it earlier, you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You may be living right now, and you may come to the brink of death in this physical world, and your body will die. The moment your body dies, Christian, you're released. And you see, as the moment it gets dark, 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 then it gets light, 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 light! And it's going to be your hope, your fulfilled hope as a Christian. How important is the gospel? The Bible tells us in Romans 15, verse 4, that whatever things were written beforehand, prevenient, the word is prevenient. We don't use that old English word. Whatever was prevenient in the scriptures was written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Isn't that awesome? You read your Bible. What does it do? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Did you know? Listen, church, if you forget everything today, remember this. If you get an infusion of, I guess if you're watching a football game today, you know, if somebody returns the kickoff, what, 100 yards, 99 yards? Have you noticed that young 25-year-old? Even he has to run over to the sideline after that great run, and what does he do? He gets oxygen immediately. Have you seen that? They run over there, they sit down on the bench, and they're, what's going on? They're getting their lungs filled with air again. If you're tired, you go set an IV drip of about 500 cc's of French roast coffee, or a nice slow drip Americana, right? To get as much caffeine as, I say that to you because Christians don't do drugs anymore, no. Right? We just drink coffee. Why? What do you need? Why? Because you're tired and you need a boost, you know. Listen, think of this. As Christians, we don't look to the world to give us hope and strength anymore. We don't have to draw that line of cocaine anymore to make it through another day. You know what we do? We, as it were, take a hit off the Bible. We put a needle in our veins, as it were, and we begin a drip of the scriptures of God. And listen, all the things written in advance that we read about, all those prevenient promises of God, A.W. Tozer says, God is always prevenient. God is always before us. He's waiting for you right now. Isn't it amazing? Are you tired? He's your strength. Are you about ready to give up hope? He is your hope. Do you want to end it all? He's life. And you set that drip of the word of God. God, I need you. And you let him fill you up. And you take his promises and you receive them. God, I'm scared. God, I'm lonely. God, I'm hurting. God, I don't know what to do. And you open up his Bible and you read it. I can honestly report to you that 75-85% of the people I talk to after services at Home Depot or Lowe's or at Vaughn's Supermarket, doesn't matter. 75-85% of the people I talk to, their issue, they feel like I'm writing them off, but they tell me their issue. And I say, listen, you need to go to Psalms 51 right now and read that. And they look at me like, come on, pastor, help me out, will ya? I expect it on Sunday. Give me something. I don't have anything else to give you. There's nothing else to give you. If I didn't believe what I was saying right now, I would leave now this pulpit. All those things, Romans 15:4 says, were written in advance, were written for our learning, that we through patience of the scriptures might have comfort and hope. The world takes a pill. We take to the scriptures. Do it. Watch what happens. He will so transform your life and give you a hope that cannot be denied against anything that happens in this world. The gospel originates with God. It is God who said that he'll give us the Savior. Why? Because man is a rebel against God. We run against him. We run away from him. And yet God still sends the gospel to us. Man runs, and as it were, God runs after him with the word. Next under this, why is the gospel so important? It's because the gospel's power is through Jesus Christ himself. The gospel, the message, this is fun, watch. The message is more than a message. Because the power of it lies in Christ. Church, is Jesus alive? His message is alive. I can quote George Washington. I read books on George Washington. I read books on Samuel Adams. I've read their mail. I feel like I know them. But there's no power to their words in the sense that they can't save you. They can inspire you. They can educate you. But there isn't supernatural life in their words. The Word of God is alive. Why? How? How can it be alive? The Bible says of itself, the Word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. How is that possible? It's alive. That's why, you know, look, you can take a history book. You can go to Mimi's right now after service is over. You can throw down your history book on the table and order ham and eggs, and nobody will think anything about it. The waiter, the server will come up and say, here, move your book. I have to. Here's your coffee. Yeah? Well, try that with your Bible. You go to Mimi's today or Panera or wherever you're going to go after church, and you're going to put just, hey, good morning. Hey, good morning. Put down your Bible. In fact, if you want to freak people out, open it up. Open it up. Have the menu open and the Bible open. And look at the face. This is a fun experiment for all of you to do. To prove my point, I don't even need to say it. Just go do it. Watch their eyes. Would you like to have some coffee? They'll look at the Bible like it's going to jump up and grab them by the face or something. It's awesome. Is that a Bible? Yes, it is. Try it. It's awesome. The Bible says all of the promises God has given us are yes and amen in Christ. You want to grab a promise from Genesis to Revelation? You say, yeah, but I'm not of the tribe of Benjamin. That's not what it said. Do you want to grab a promise from God from Genesis to Revelation? All the promises of God are yes and amen through Christ. Amen. One of my favorite verses is Jeremiah 29:11. I had somebody tell me, Pastor, I know that's your life verse, but I don't want to, you know, hurt your feelings or anything, but that doesn't belong to the non-Jew. It only belongs to the Jews. And I said, well, preeminently, first of all, it belongs to the Jews. Second of all, I've been grafted in, Book of Romans tells me, and all the promises of God are yes and amen through Christ. So I said, you need to go back and study your Bible some more while I enjoy the promises of God who says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, Jack, I insert, thoughts of hope and for a future to bring your life to a full and to a glorious completion. You need hope. You need God's promises. And God says, I will take you all the way through this life, and I will hand walk you into the kingdom of God. And that's a promise he has made. Because Jesus lives, the promises of God are alive. The power of the gospel is in Jesus. First of all, the Old Testament, that's an interesting statement if you think about it. The Old Testament is a letter, the Bible says. It's a message that illuminates man's inability to redeem himself. I think you already know that. In a sense, it is mankind's last will and testament, if it were. The Old Testament, think about it. It's holy, it's just, it's awesome. But as I said last week, it cannot save you. The Old Testament just points to A, man's sinfulness, and B, God will come sometime, someday in the future out from the Old Testament, and he will fulfill the Old Testament promises with the Redeemer. And the book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, the last statement of the Old Testament, and the last book of the Old Testament, is the word, lest I come and visit the earth with a curse. End statement of the Old Testament. The New Testament is not a testament of mankind, like the old is, that man has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans comments on that. Lest I come and visit the earth with a curse. God closes the Old Testament out. The New Testament is all about the man, Jesus. And the New Testament ends in the book of Revelation with, even so, praise the Lord, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Think of that for a moment. Testaments. Do you have a last will and testament for your family, for your life? In the state of California, do yourself a favor. Get a living trust. A testament in California is not going to do you much good. Get a living trust in this state. This is free advice. Get a living trust in the state of California, a a will in California can easily be defeated. But listen, a will, testament, last will and testament. You heard that term? Play with me for a moment. Who writes it? Really, who writes it? You write it, right? You do it before you're dead. You write it. It's made legal. But it's just a piece of paper, ladies and gentlemen. It's pretty worthless. Until what happens? Until you drop dead. The moment you drop dead, the moment the coroner writes moment of death, did you know this? And we record the moment of death. Did you know the legal ramifications of that statement? There are those, perhaps outside the coroner, few, that have the legal right to pronounce someone dead at a certain moment. And they'll say, mark it at 8:48, I pronounce this person deceased. Boom! Wow! What happens? It sets in motion at that moment, at that declaration, an act of power. Attorneys go into work. Letters are opened up. Banks are called. Insurance companies are summoned. There's meetings. There's a whole lot of work that commences at the death of somebody. And then watch this. People are called in and things are read and everything is made clear. Because someone died, the benefits of your life now that you're dead are empowered. You know how awesome God is? And the power of the gospel in Jesus Christ. Listen to this. When Jesus said, "It is finished. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." The universe watched as God recorded the time of death. Shortly after 3:00 in the afternoon, on that day of crucifixion, the promises of God were released at the death of Jesus and empowered. Listen, all the issues of your forgiveness, all of the issues of your shame, guilt, and sorrow, and separation from God, God, the God of all time and eternity, the God of holiness and righteousness, was there. And he witnessed the death of his son. And in a legal transaction, ladies and gentlemen, legally, when Jesus said, "It's finished, I dismiss my spirit," the Bible says at that he dismissed his spirit. It set in motion the powers that be, where the God of all the universe was appeased by the death of his righteous son upon the cross for all my sin, for all your sin. You say, "I don't know if I believe it." I could care less if you believe it or not. Frankly, I mean it. I love you, but I could care less. You want to know why? Even if I didn't believe it, it doesn't change the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If nobody believes it, it doesn't change the power of it. Our believing it doesn't make it powerful. I love that. "Well, I don't know if enough people believe in that." I don't care. God did it. It was an agreement between him and his son. Sin, your pornography, arrogance, pride, adultery, lust, everything. Killed at the cross. You don't need to live under that shadow anymore. You've received a life from the enemy if that's troubling your life. He invites you to be free from it. Well, it's not over. Jesus rose again from the dead. And when he rose again from the dead, we have something in effect that we've never had in effect and never will have an effect ever again, because it's not necessary to have another one. The Son of God, who paid the debt and appeased the demands of the Holy Father in heaven, rose from the dead to ensure your justification. What does this mean? He died on the cross for your salvation, but he rose again from the dead for your justification. In other words, it was wonderful enough that Jesus died in our place, but if he would have remained dead, then we should all go surfing this morning. You hear what I'm saying? But ladies and gentlemen, no Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, or Jew, no atheist, no one can take away the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not going to happen. He rose from the dead. Why? He rose from the dead, Paul says in the book of Romans, to be our advocate. Any paralegals in here, or attorneys, or judges? I know we have some judges in this church. You know exactly what I'm talking about. I get it now. Jesus went, and he went to the bench, and he said, Father, all of humanity is guilty of sin. What's the sentence? Death? I'll step in their place. If I take it, then these are to be set free. All right, so here we go. He dies for us, and then he's resurrected from the dead to ensure, as advocate, the benefits of his resurrection. Jesus didn't leave it up to a will to make sure you got to heaven. If there was ever something called a living trust, it's Jesus. A living trust, listen, we have one of those. We've had those for years, Lisa and I. Lisa loves teacups, for example. She loves her teacups, and I have an old 67 Volkswagen that I've had since 1979, second owner. Love that little car. So living trust, what does that mean? That means that we write out everything that concerns us to the detail. So, for example, Lisa's teacups. When I would travel all over the world, I would bring back Lisa a teacup. And so she's got all these teacups. And so my daughters, they want the teacups. Well, no, I want the teacups. No, I want the teacups. So Lisa, in the living trust, she says, okay, this teacup goes to Rebecca. This teacup goes to Ashley. This one to Rebecca. This to Ashley. Da, 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 da. And Lisa, imagine, Lisa's dead. She's with Jesus. They open up the living trust, and they ain't no bickering or arguing about it. This teacup goes to this one, and that teacup goes to that one. And somehow Jack is going to take his Volkswagen with him to heaven. And meaning that though we're not here anymore, we still speak. It's as though we are living, we still speak. Do you understand that? The gospel is speaking by the power of Jesus. Amen. And you can't change it. You can't change it. It's between him and the Father. Believe him. What do I do? Believe him. Believe him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a lesson called You Need to Know All About the Gospel Truth. It's actually part of a mini-series that goes by that very title, and it's taken from Pastor Jack's collection of lessons on the essentials of our faith. It's called You Need to Know. We'll continue with more of You Need to Know All About the Gospel Truth on the next edition of Real Radio. Remember now, we're still making available the riveting DVD update, Israel from the Golan Heights. Pastor Jack and his good friend Amir discuss today's news, the Iranian threat, America's role and her leaders, Russia sticking their jaw out, the pressure that's being put on Israel, ISIS, and by the way, this was delivered in Israel by Pastor Jack and Amir outdoors and not too far from ISIS, believe it or not. I've watched it. Couldn't believe what I saw and heard. Now, you might be thinking, wow, the Golan Heights, I don't know anything about that. Don't know where it is, but believe me, you'll figure it out when you listen to Pastor Jack and Amir. Whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name, Update Israel from the Golan Heights. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your contribution to our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.